This is the William Hill Rugby League Podcast.
Welcome along to another week of the Rugby League Podcast here at William Hill. Got plenty of games to look at, spanning Thursday to Sunday this week, just for a bit of a change. No Terry O'Connor, but we have got Barry McDermott. Morning, sir.
Morning, Lee. How are you doing?
Yeah, you're going to be all right with that, Tez? I know how much you two love working together.
Yeah, I managed to survive for the first 16 years of my life without him, but unfortunately, like the inevitable bad cold, I've never shook him off.
Terry has emailed me his selection, so I will throw them in at the end of when Barry's previewed. So you haven't completely escaped him just yet. One little bit of admin before we start. We're recording this on Thursday morning because we've got the London Leeds game on Thursday night, and because of that, it means the bookmakers haven't quite got their act together and put all the prices out for the Friday, Saturday and Sunday games, just because of team news, etc. They don't want to be filled in, of course. So we're going to concentrate on like winning margins, how many they'll win by, and then you can frame your bets around that. Check the websites there. They will be available probably by Friday morning at the very latest. Right, let's start on Thursday night, shall we, with London versus Leeds. Last week, if you listen to the podcast, you'll know that both Terry and Barry couldn't find a single reason why London could beat Wigan, and so it proved to be probably one of the bets of the season at -26 London were. I was intrigued to see what they would be. For this Thursday night match, Barry, the William Hill have given them a 30-point start against Leeds at home. They're 12-1 to win in 80 minutes. Leeds 50-1 on the draw, 40-1. Obviously, the noises coming out of London are all about playing for pride, making sure you put something in this game, because you certainly didn't get too much out of the Challenge Cup defeat. As for Leeds, a couple of players coming back. They'll probably view this as an ideal way of starting their playoff running, won't they, Barry?
Yeah, and I think, to be fair, they've probably been looking at that and trying to start that and generate that momentum for the last month or so. The semi-final was a dreadful experience for nearly everybody involved in the game, because it does do some damage, that, because although Wigan are an exceptional team and me and Tez and most people thought it might look that way, it doesn't actually do us any favours when it ends up that way. So I'm going to, and again, I'm the eternal optimist, I'm going to hope, I'm going to back on the side of London are going to come out and London are going to play with that pride. It's going to be a Leeds win, and Leeds are going to do what they do to most teams. But what I'm envisaging is London will make a fight of it, whether they can do it for the entire 80 or they put it in 20, 25-minute blocks, I'm not too sure. But there's a few things going on with this game. Kevin Sinfield makes his 500th appearance. He's a phenomenal player. Phenomenal player. When you look at some of his numbers, 1,528 goals, 34 drop goals, 77 tries, 3,398 points.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Career. Yeah, it's an amazing career.
Staggering.
His accolades tally up as 18 finals. That's Grand Finals, of course, Challenge Cup Finals, World Cup Challenge, World Club Challenges, Landstrad Trophy winner in a defeat at 2005, Harry Sunderland Award, England captain. So you know, all things considered, there's a lot to lose for Leeds if they don't get what they want from this. And of course, it's Yorkshire Day, Lee, as you well know.
Well, of course, yeah, of course it is, yeah. And the other thing, Barry, I mean, and you've made some very emotional and very heartfelt statements about Graham Murray this week. I'm not asking you to do it all over again, but that, I mean, you know, some people who question kind of how modern sportsmen react to different things, that will definitely have a, I don't know if it'll have a somber atmosphere on the dressing room, but there'll be something added to this game, won't there, because of the sad death of Graham Murray.
They will do, and I think our sport has still got loads of integrity, and we always give a nod to the past. I'm currently at Wakefield at the minute, waiting to interview the great Neil Fox, who himself had, you know, when I talk about Evans' numbers there, Neil Fox played until he was 40, and amassed, right, listen to this, 828 games he amassed. So, you know, we're always aware of the history of our game. We're always aware of the people that make it such a fabulous spectacle as it is now. But, you know, I think Graham Murray left his impression on everybody. Kevin was one of the few players still involved in the squad. Probably Jones is the other one, or one of the other ones that still had some involvement with Moz. He was a, you know, I've been on the phone to lots of my former teammates who've at times like this, you start to rally everybody around, you start chasing everybody. The club's going to do something for him later in the month. But me and several of that era, if not all of them, are planning a bit of a get together, catch up, see how everybody is. That sort of jolt that you get from somebody so young passing away is felt by everybody. So Graham was a fantastic man. He left his impression on this club, as you say. I've said quite a few things, along with many, many people far greater in this game than me. So I think in his honour, this will, you know, this will mean something to the players of today, whether they knew him or not.
Mm, yeah. As for Terry, Terry goes for a big old Leeds win, 42 points win he's going for, and he's put them as his better of the week as well. So we'll come back to that at the end. 8 o'clock on Friday night, Wigan versus Hull KR is on the TV. Wigan, of course, off the back of that fantastic win last week. Hull KR, they're an interesting side, aren't they, Barry? Because you can never count them out, even against the best sides in the division. I'm interested to see how they progress this season. They've got on their day. I'm not saying they can beat absolutely anyone, but they've got the capabilities, haven't they? Can they cause a Wigan team trouble here after the Challenge Cup semi, or did they pretty much stroll out, and when the physical and mental toll of that extra game not really have much of an effect on the Warriors?
That's the fascination of the game itself. Whether Wigan have parted a bit too hard, enjoyed themselves, whether they're on a down from, you know, the emotion and the effort of last week, I'm not too sure they got out of second gear myself. So I think whilst they were tremendous in their performance, I think they did it at a counter. We only have to think back to Easter, to that dreadful result for Hull KR at home. More than 80 points in the plus column for Wigan, and you know, not many in the plus column for Hull KR. So they'll have that in the back of their mind. I'm not sure it'll be enough. I've got the difference about 12 points. I think that 10 to 12 points is about the difference between the two teams. If Hull KR can give it a good go and really test and challenge Wigan's middle, because I think that's where Saints got them a couple of weeks ago. Saints made the play the ball really quick, and some of those offloads and some of those unpredictable plays that Saints were putting on really troubled Wigan, and give everybody else in the league a bit of a nod on how to play them. Be interested to see what type of team, whether it's O'Loughlin and Tompkins that take the field or not. I'm not too sure. Those two players in particular made the difference for me. But I think Wigan, all things square, Wigan are the winners in this one by two scores.
Yeah, and Tez goes Wigan by 24. Very precise. It's because he sent me his Skype thing, and you have to give an exact win total, don't you? So Wigan by 24 for Tez. Hull KR beat them last year, of course, but as Barry said, we're embarrassed this season. Hull FC take on Widnes also on Friday night. Hull FC, of course, coming off their own victory in the Challenge Cup, and that one really will, you would imagine, if these things do have a bearing, that one really will do, because it was an absolute sensational game, and the mental and emotional joy they would have felt afterwards would surely have taken a little bit out of them. They're facing a Widnes side who lost in their last outing. They're facing a Widnes side who, in their last outing, beat London Broncos 38-12. Lost to Wakey before that. Did rack up 36 points against Leeds at home before that. But home is pretty much where the best stuff's come, Barry, hasn't it? They haven't been particularly great on the road, and they're still making far too many mistakes, Widnes, aren't they?
Widnes are, and Hull are. If you listen to Peter Gettler, and we watched that game, or most of us would have watched that game and delighted in the fact that, to a certain extent, the underdog won. Some people tipped Hull, but not many. More went on the, you know, the fact that Warrington had been there for the last couple of years, and Warrington obviously are one of the favourites to get to the Super League final as well. So Warrington were well beaten on the day. Hull were tremendous. you know, as a bloke that loves to watch his sport, I was enthralled with the contest and the battle, and for a game to go right to the last second, the last play, was an amazing feat. And I genuinely think that Hull would have celebrated that a lot better, a lot harder, a lot stronger than Wigan, because, as I said, they were the underdogs. Whether they can mentally and physically pick themselves up this week, that's the question mark, isn't it? They play Widnes, who are very erratic. They play Widnes, who on their own pitch are quite tough to beat, and when they go away are a bit hit and miss, as we say. But Hull FC, the players, they played with an aggression in defence. Gaz Ellis had his best game in a black and white shirt so far, and they played with an aggression that will get them far in either competition, the Challenge Cup or the Super League. But this week, I think they've got enough. I think on the crest of that wave, they've got enough. But again, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be about six to 8 points a score or a bit more between them.
Next up, Saturday, Catalan Dragons take on St Helens. Only 1 point between these two sides now. Kind of all of a sudden, I guess, in a way. Saints on 23, Catalan on 24. And Saints, as the guys have been saying over the past few weeks, starting just to get that roll going now at just the right time of the season, you could argue. Best win of the season came in their last match, of course, against Wigan. And Catalan, you know, you can't fault the position in the league, Barry. You know, they're in fifth position. They're going to be in the playoffs. But they haven't been as convincing this year, especially at home, have they? You know, the wins that they've got, they've been fairly narrow wins against teams that you'd have expected them to beat. Just putting the 80 minutes together seems to have been a struggle for Catalan.
I think Catalan and Trent Robinson is a brilliant coach, and, you know, he's proved that by going and doing what he's doing with Sydney City, or Sydney Roosters, should I say. So there's a transition period where an Australian coach with new ideas or ideas that French players aren't perhaps accustomed to. And, you know, now that Laurent Fresneau, who's a French international, one of the original Catalan players, he's coming in and he's trying to impress his theory, his philosophy on the team. It hasn't led to the consistent performances that we expect from Catalan. But Saints are a bit similar as well, aren't they? Because Nathan Brown did what he did at Saints. He's come and he's tried to do the same things at Saints, and it hasn't quite been there for him. Whether that's down to personnel, whether that's down to game plan, whether that's just down to the fact that Saints haven't been playing that well. You know, that's all down to opinion. I think Nathan Brown is a good coach, and given time and given some scope to improve that side, will add some key signings and add some key players and make the club smile again. I think it's going to be a tough journey over to Catalan for them. Last Monday was the best Monday night game we had, and again, I enjoyed that. Sat there and did the commentary for 3D and was on the edge of my seat, because again, the underdog came up and give the big bag giant a good hiding. So Wigan went on to the semi-final. Saints have had some time to rest, recover, get ready for this Catalan game, but I don't think it's going to be enough. I'm going to go for Catalan to win by score and just a bit more, so 8 to 10 points.
Yeah, Tez goes Saints by 6 on that one, so they're both going head-to-head there. I forgot to give you Tez's prediction on the whole game. Hull to win...
We don't need it.
Hull by 8 he went for against his team. Terrible.
Well,
terrible form.
There you go.
Terrible form, isn't it?
I thought he was going to go Widnes.
Well, who'd have thought?
Well, the bloody traitor.
Well, maybe he would have done on the radio, but not on the Sky thing. Huddersfield versus Salford on Sunday. Huddersfield, I've got to hold my hands up here. I was one of the people who was saying, yeah, same old Huddersfield. They'll do great, but it'll fall away. They haven't really fallen away, have they? They're going into round 23, and there they are, top of the table from a point from Wigan. I guess this is where the pressure starts, though, on them in another sense, because they have to try and stay there. And what an achievement it would be if they could do that. They've got an ideal opportunity to bag two more points. Or have they, Barry? But tell me about, I mean, cast your minds back a couple of weeks now to Salford beating Catalan Dragons 16-12, nilling them in the first half. All right, they came back at them, Catalan, in the second half, but what a performance that is. I know Catalan don't travel well, but still, it was the first decent win for a while for Salford. Must have given them all sorts of confidence, that.
It must have done, and it did end up in a big brawl where there were suspensions and a few people had to get their legs smacked because of the... way that Salford played, the passion that they played with overspilled, boiled over, and Lee Jewett and one or two others got Darrell Griffin, I think, as well, got a couple of suspensions, so that'll hurt Salford.
Yeah.
This is all about Huddersfield for me. Now, as you know, I work in the game and I work in moulding the minds and the bodies of young men and how they can be successful. Now, if I was to say to you, if you don't do 10 press-ups, I'm not going to give you £10, then you're going to try and do the press-ups because the motivation is there. Now, if I swap that around and say, when you do 10 press-ups, I'm going to give you £10. There's only a slight and a subtle change in your motivation, but you're moving towards a positive goal rather than avoiding a negative goal. So if you do them, I'll give you a tenner. If you don't do them, you won't get a tenner. That's the two subtle, slight differences. That could well be the secret to Huddersfield this year. Paul Anderson might say, if we play really well, then we are going to be league leaders and win the league leaders' shield. Although it may be in years and previous seasons, we're going to do really well. And if we don't keep that up, then we won't get to where we're going to go. It's only subtle, it's only slight, but there's no doubting that Huddersfield now, at this point in time, are favourites for the league leaders' shield. If that's the way that Paul Anderson's speaking to his players, if we keep this up, lads, we're going to win this league leaders' shield, then I hope that that continues. And I hope that Huddersfield, who, let's face it, have got the envy of a lot of clubs in terms of facility, players, personnel, a good British coach, Paul Anderson, I hope they get some success and they can start to build and bring some bodies to that stadium. One of the really disappointing parts about this weekend was 5,000 or thereabouts, just less, at the semi-final, Wigan at London. That's not a jive and a jab at anybody from those clubs. I think that the league and, you know, the people that run and promote the game need to share some responsibility there. That should have been a sellout. The Sunday game was a bit more, you know, 10 plus, I think, just slightly more. I think about 100 people more than Wakefield versus Leeds. So we need to get some full stadiums. We need to generate some momentum in terms of support base and people getting out there and spending money on the terraces and making the game an atmospheric cauldron as it was on Sunday.
Barry, I know we're a little bit short on time, but I'm interested in what you said there about the example you gave of, you know, the 10 push-ups for the tenner. Are you saying the difference then between those two statements you made? Either you do the 10, you get a tenner. You don't do the 10, you don't get a tenner. Is that it takes a positive mind to then go and do them because you're starting with nothing and you'll still have nothing at the end of it? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Yeah, right, and okay,
as well, like, don't get me wrong, mate. You know, certain players, and you've heard this from different coaches, different players, different sportsmen involved in the game. Some people thrive on you can't do it. Some people do. They thrive on you can't do it. I think I'm probably one of them. If anybody told me I couldn't do something, I'd say, I can, I will, and I want my tenner when I've done those press-ups. But other players and other people, not weak-minded or stronger-minded, just different people who are wired up slightly different. If you tell them that they can't do them, then they will believe that they can't do them. If you tell them, come on, mate, you've got this, let's do it, let's go for it now, you've got it. If you tell them that, then a certain player that's wired up that way will believe you, trust you, and do it and deliver it.
Yeah, fair enough. You reminded me of something very interesting as well, that you and Terry both owe me a pound, because you said there would be between 8,000 and 10,000 at the Wakey game. Tez went 13 to 16. There were 10,000 and 31, so I thank those 31 people.
Yeah, no, well, let me just explain this now, because 8 and 10,000, right, what comes after 8?
9.
9?
Yeah.
10, 11... No,
between 8 and 10,000.
No. Between 8 and 10,000. Tez was a little bit smarter than me because we both know that joke, having done it 1,000 times. It's a very gullible, almost naive, dare I say it.
No. You said between 8 and 10,000.
Yeah, I did.
And
I was wrong.
And he said between...
So I was wrong.
He said between 13 and 16.
He said between 13,
yes,
and 16,000.
I get you. I'm with you. God, you two.
So
it's like being at school again.
And he's won. So we'll call it quits. So that's the gag. Between 8 and 10,000.
I'm with you. I wouldn't have minded losing to you, Barry. I wouldn't have minded at all if I'd have been done on that joke by you. But Tez, it's twice this week. Twice.
Yeah.
Castle, he goes for Huddersfield by 30, by the way. Castleford versus Warrington next up. Again, you know, without sounding like a stuck record, Warrington, of course, have got the disappointment of their defeat in the Challenge Cup to overcome. I suppose, in a way, though, I mean, I had a few people tweeting me, Barry, saying, get on Warrington now. As soon as they lost that, get on Warrington now, because this is like, it's almost like Tony Smith's MO. Not that he does it on purpose, obviously, but to, you know, to fall either at the final hurdle or the semi-final hurdle in the Challenge Cup and then motivate his troops to say, right, now we get on it, now we've got that little bit of a break when others haven't, and we can go and have a real good tilt at the grand final. And you can see it maybe a good bet. They've got his Castleford side this week, who you know, they had that little bit of a purple patch, didn't they, and now that they're back into the kind of into a couple of games where they've lost. I mean, St Helens and Huddersfield, you know, that's no great shame there, and they have scored points against them both. Where are Cass at the minute, Barry? Are they capable of beating Warrington at home here?
I think they'll make it tough, Lee. Just in terms of Warrington and us, you know, their mindsets, they'll be ultra focused on the grand final now. I think they were outplayed. I think they'll recognise that. It probably gives them a nudge in the right direction for the next achievable goal for them, which was the Super League trophy. I think they'll go to Cass, they'll get the points, but I think it'd be tight. I think it'd be a score or could even be less. So Warrington to go to Castleford to fill out the stadium, make it incredibly difficult. Darryl Powell against the man who succeeded him at Leeds and probably gets the credit that some might think that Powell deserves a smidgen of that as well. So yeah, tight game, Warrington to win.
Terry goes for Warrington by 18. Just a quick check on, I mean, Castleford win, lose or draw against the better sides, they have been scoring points against them. 32 against Huddersfield, 24 against St Helens. They scored 24 against Leeds as well. So you can see Barry's argument there might be close. Wakey versus Bradford is where we'll finish for today. If you look at the league table, well, Bradford Bulls in 10th on 18 points, Wakefield in 9th on 19 points, and Hull, the last playoff place, occupied on 20 points, so well within both these clubs' reaches, Barry. And you know, I'm no bias here or anything, just as a neutral, it'd be good to see them, one of them involved. Bradford had another bit of a kick in the teeth this week, haven't they, financially? But I can't help but be impressed by Wakey. That last season and this season, they just go about the business quietly, don't they?
Well, this is a playoff for the playoffs.
Yes, it is,
what everybody's looking at here is, have they got the right quality? And I love the playoff system. I love the fact that you get everybody in the mix, and it's genuinely fight out. What I'd like to see is teams that enter in the playoffs have the mindset that they can win all the games and get through to the final. Sometimes some teams, not these two in particular, but some teams are just happy to get in that top eight, and that seems to be the beginning, middle and end of their goals for the end of the season. They have their hearts broken twice by Leeds, did Wakefield, and gave a good account of themselves. Unfortunately, wasn't enough. Bradford are a bit of a toss of the coin side as well. So I'm going to go for Wakey at home, because I think they're difficult to beat at home, and I think Richard Agar, with the team that he's assembled, know how to play. I think he does his homework really well, and he plays that game. He plays the right game plan for the right team and changes it around pretty consistently to make sure that whoever comes in, whoever comes to Bellevue, fights hard for what they've got. So I'm going to go for Wakefield to beat Bradford by 12. So that's one of my biggest ones now.
Tez goes Wakey by 14, so very similar there. And don't forget, before those kind of, in inverted commas, good losses to Leeds, good performances in defeat, they'd won 4 on the spin, and Bradford have only beaten London and Salford away from home, and obviously Wakey are a better outfit than those two clubs, and that's going back to April for Bradford. Let's get a bet of the week then, Barry. Last week I lost. I went for a Sam Tompkins hat trick. I guess I was on the right lines, but didn't get the result. Tez nicked the best bet of them all, didn't he? Wigan minus 26. You went Leeds minus 8, and of course did that land?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did, just, didn't it? Oh, no, it didn't. No, it was 24-31. It was seven. They won by seven, so he got chinned on the line there. So Tez was the only one to win there. Where are you going this week? Tez has already picked Leeds, minus 30 it is. Where are you going?
I'm going to go for Wigan.
Wigan.
I'm going to go for Wigan on the 80s. I'm going to go for Wigan to beat the handicap.
Yeah, which we haven't got them in. I think it'll probably, I'm guessing here, but I think the Wigan handicap will be about minus 12, I'm guessing, so yeah. Which is fair enough. And I'll go for Cass on the handicap. Thinking they can stay fairly close to Warrington after the Challenge Cup semi-final defeat. Thanks very much, Barry. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
All right, pal. See you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.